Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville. Willie D. will be along in a little bit. He is in Detroit as the Predators will take on the Red Wings tonight. This segment presented by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealers. We head to Detroit Rock City right now and say hello to the man, the myth, the legend, the second greatest number 75 in Predators history, Hal Gill.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Skillsy? How is Detroit? I enjoyed seeing the photo shoot that you guys had last night on the Instagram. That was very nice.
Well, sometimes opportunity hits, and you gotta get a photo shoot in. You know, that's what we do on the road. We have some good times. I'll tell you that.
That's good, and I'm glad that Max is fitting
in.
I know. I kind of thought about this last night. The program director probably needs to come supervise a road trip at some point.
If you can handle it. Last time, I don't know if you...
I think I can handle it.
Max is hanging in there. He's doing all right. You know, he's learning some things. You know, it's a rookie part of his progression, and he's doing well, though.
He had to put on his big boy pants. He is. Our Hal,
exactly.
He is. So, Hal, this team, speaking of doing well, I mean, I think they have to be pleased with the homestand that they had. Going 4-0-1 in those five games. Arizona gave him a fight Monday night, had to win that one in a shootout with some nasty work by Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg in the shootout, but they ultimately get that done. What have you seen over the course of the last few weeks that's improved with this team from what you've noticed?
I think the big thing is their defensive structure. I think they've stabilized that. I think for a long time, and on that road trip, they had some good periods, some good spans, but then they had just breakdowns defensively, turnovers that were costing them games, especially in the first period. I think the first periods have been fantastic in that homestand, and I think that defense sets a tone for it. It also allows UC Saros to look really good. You know, he stepped up his game, and I think that was the big part with that defensive structure. Now they just need that consistency. They had some bad second periods on that homestand that, you know, you have a good start, bad second, but they're finding ways to win, and that's ultimately what you're looking for.
How frustrating is that, though, within the locker room of you guys, you know the plan, you know what you need to do, each guy individually knows what they need to do, but you do have some lulls within a game that, for whatever reason, you just can't shake. So what are some of those conversations that you're having in the locker room when you're trying to get through some of those rough patches?
Yeah, it's tough. I you know, it's such a fine line between playing really well and then it slips a little bit and gets away from you. The good thing, I will say, is that they're catching it. You know, they're not letting it fall all the way away from them. And that's what winning teams do. You're going to have bad spells. There's going to be a five-minute segment in a game where you're not quite as sharp, but you're fixing it. And I think, you know, you look at that last game, Arizona came out and they started going hard, a lot of pushback in that second. And then, you know, we're looking at it going, how are they going to respond going into the third period? And then Roman Josi gets out there and just starts blasting pucks on the power play, and they find a way to score a couple quick and then, you know, ultimately take that game over. So that's what you're looking for. As a good team, you've got to ride those waves and recognize when it's not going your way and tighten the screws a little bit. And they've done that.
We're talking to Hal Gill, Predators analyst, both on TV and radio, as the Predators take on Detroit later tonight. When Parsonen made his debut, he scores in his debut. And I love seeing a kid do that in their first NHL game. But at the same time, when that happens, it adds pressure because – in his mind, he's going to go, oh, I got to do it again. The fans are going to get all excited, like, oh, he's going to score 50 goals. Like, it's, you know, so it adds something to it. I have been very impressed with how he has handled this entire thing and the way he's played. He's had some moments where, you know, rookie moments, learning moments, what have you, but he looks like an NHL player, Hal. What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, when he came out, you know, you could see he's got everything. It was basically one play that described his whole game. You know, he's good defensively. He reads the play well. Positionally, I think he's sound defensively. And then he's got the speed. He's got the size. That one first goal, you know, he's driving a guy wide. He's got some courage that he's attacking the net. So he's playing the right way. I think that whole play describes his game, protecting the puck really well. And we've seen that, you know, every time he's been on the ice. I think that second game you come in, you go, okay, now I'm going to start making plays. I feel confident. And he, you know, I think Coach Hines kind of pointed it out that he was trying to be a little bit too cute. But then the next game, you came out and played really well, hard defensively, made solid decisions. And, you know, I think that's the growth of his game. And you see that he's smart enough to recognize what he can get away with and what he can't. Sometimes you have to, in the NHL, you have to make the hard play. And I think he's learning that. And so far, I love watching him play. You know, just the way he protects the puck his vision, the way he sees the game, everything looks good. It's amazing that, you know, I think they wanted to keep him around. It was a numbers game, but it was pretty impressive. You know, we didn't see him coming in and playing the way he has, and he's just going to continue to grow.
Do you think that you're starting to see more consistent play out of Matt Duchene? I know he's tied for third on the team in points with 15. He's got 5 goals. He had a good one the other night, but I think he'd be the first to tell you that earlier in the year things were a little bit off. But do you think he's starting to turn the corner and get more on track to like he was last year?
Yeah, I see signs of it. I also see signs where he checks out and blanks out for a little bit, stops his feet moving. And I think he is one of the scariest players. You know, if I'm playing defense against him, you better be ready for it because he can cut back and attack the net. When he plays that way, he's so tough to stop, and we've seen glimpses of that. I'd love to see a little more consistency with that, but he's been bouncing around on different lines and playing with different guys, and they're trying to get him going and, you know, for the most part, trying to get a lot of guys going. So I think that's part of the process, but, you know, we certainly have seen glimpses of how good he can be, and if he can get that consistency, then it's going to be – and every night teams are going to be afraid to play against him because he's that good.
Now, Hal, this team has won 4 out of their last, I believe, 5. So they're looking pretty good now. We know how the season started off for them. What do you want to see from them moving forward? Because it seems like they're picking up their groove now.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, everyone talks about the identity, right? Their team identity, their heavy forecheck, get in there and compete and battle, and they're tough and hard to play against. But I think they found, you know, the big thing was that defense has come around. They're not giving those turnovers. But now I think they need to get back to that forecheck and get going. And now that the defensive structure is there, they're finding ways to win. I think they're going to put – and all those games have been close, right, all one-goal games. I think they can separate themselves from the league and pull ahead and get into that elite group if they can put it all together where they do have that forecheck going and they're creating offensive zone time because of their forecheck, all the while having that defensive structure. So it's right there for them. I feel like they're just trying to get that consistency with everything, every aspect of their game. But I think the focus has been the defense, which has made them turn the corner, I think.
What do you expect from this Detroit team? You know, this is a team that obviously Predators fans remember from having a big rival back in the day. They only seen them twice a year, but look, they're right there in the Atlantic, 22 points so far to start the season. A young, kind of a mix of young and old. But what's kind of your thought on the Red Wings?
Yeah, you know, Steve Yzerman has come in here and he slow played it for a while. Just, you know, they went after some young guys. They got some good talent. Maurice Seider is one of the guys, the defenseman, a young talent that's a lot of fun to watch, just a big young kid that is playing hard and a ton of talent. Lucas Raymond, another young kid that had a great year. They were both in the conversation with Rookie of the Year, and Seider is that guy that's turning, is going to be part of the cornerstone of this franchise moving forward. But they added some other guys. Kubalik, they added in, help out with Dylan Larkin and and Perron is here. You know, they have, you know, Yzerman went after some veteran guys to help these young guys out. So now they're a tough team to play against, and I think they're building the program. Remember, Yzerman did that in Tampa, and they had a ton of success. It was just like a bit of a rebuild, and they're doing the same thing here.
Well, Skillsy, should be a fun one tonight. We'll be listening to you and Max on the call. I'll have pregame starting at 5 o'clock, so talk to you here in a bit.
Sounds good. It's going to be a good one. Enjoy.
All right. Thanks, you, guys. Hal Gill, Predators analyst, joining us here on the show as the Predators will take on the Red Wings. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit more about that matchup as the Preds look to get another victory before having a day off for Thanksgiving. If you're going to a Preds game and looking for a cool place to hang out before the game, go see my friends at Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. It's right there at 508 Church Street, downtown Nashville, just blocks away from Bridgestone Arena and Broadway. It's a cool, chill atmosphere that you can go and hang out. They got leather furniture. You can have an old-fashioned, which they are famous for. It's voted the best old-fashioned in the city. So you can go there, and if you like cigars, they have an exclusive relationship with Davidoff Cigars, the best cigars in the world. That allows them access to rare cigars that only Blend can carry, so you can have a nice cigar. And they also have the best ventilation system in the industry that even if you're a non-cigar smoker, you walk in and it's a cool atmosphere. You don't really have that cigar smell. It's perfect for everybody. So if you're looking for a fun place to go and hang out before going to an event at Bridgestone Arena, check out my friends at Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. If you're looking for a private party or VIP night, hit up Jeremy. He and his staff will take care of you. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm you know, it's such a fine line between playing really well and then it slips a little bit and gets away from you. The good thing I will say is that they're catching it. You know, they're not letting it fall all the way away from them. And that's what winning teams do. You're going to have bad spells. There's going to be a 5-minute segment in a game where you're not quite as sharp, but you're fixing it. And I think, you know, you look at that last game, Arizona came out and they started going hard. A lot of pushback in that second. And then, you know, we're looking at it going, how are they going to respond going into the third period? And then Roman Josi gets out there and just starts blasting pucks on the power play, and they find a way to score a couple quick and then, you know, ultimately take that game over.
That's Hal Gill joining us in the last segment. Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thanks to G-Pander for posting the video of Hal checking me into the boards at the Winter Classic in Dallas. That was my shoulder still hurts from that. It was a good time. Predators and Red Wings tonight. Pre-game coverage at 5 o'clock here on these airways. I'll have that for you. And then Max Herz and Hal Gill will be on the call as well. Pete Weber going to join me in the first segment for Preds pregame. This is, look, they're all big, but I think this is an important one because the Preds have had a really good homestand. Mm-hmm. They're racking up points. They're getting their confidence back. And they're going to have, you know, tonight in Detroit and then three more games at home to close out the month of November. But you want to go on the road and a team that you're only going to see one more time, you want to take care of things. And I wonder who's in net tonight, if they go with Saros or if they go with Kevin Lankinen. I think with the back-to-backs on Friday and Saturday and then turning around and playing again on Tuesday, that's a lot of games. Saros has gotten a lot of work lately. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you don't see Kevin Lankinen get maybe a couple starts over the next four, just to give Juice a little bit of a breather as you go down the stretch here in November. But this team, as Willie's been saying, as I've been saying, you've been saying it, they have another gear that I think they can get to, but they're just building, and they can do that tonight with a big win on the road.
Well, I think you asked one of the important questions, and that was, you know, because you have some of your younger players starting to play a little bit better, and they're going to have to, you know, because we've seen what the, you know, marquee players or our, you know, top line players, we've seen what they can do. And in order for this team to get back to, you know, to where they were or even better than that, then those guys, those other guys beside the frontline guys have to play well. But you brought up Duchesne, and are you starting to see him now come into form? I think it's going to be critical for him to elevate his game, because I think he's one of, you know, two guys that can truly make a difference in their season moving forward. If he's elevating this game, if he's playing at the level he played at last year, then you got these young guys playing a little bit better. You got Soros playing a lot better in net than he did when it first began. Let's just say he's back to his old self, Soros is. Well, you need, you know, all your top line guys got to be hitting on all cylinders, you know, game in and game out. And Duchesne is one of those guys that, you know, has to, as this team is starting to pick up steam, he needs to start picking it up as well, you know, because you're going to need him as the season continues to move forward, because you know what you're getting out of Yossi and those guys. But you just hope that what you saw from Duchesne last season wasn't just one of those, you know, one of those years
like
where,
a flash
yeah,
in the pan.
Just a flash in the pan year. You just hope that he can come back, and if he can't get to those numbers, he's close to it, but he's adding to everybody else's numbers as well.
I think the thing with, like, I think Forsberg can be a consistent 35 to 40 goal scorer. I mean, I just think that's his makeup, and he's still 27 years old. He's still in his prime. To me, I think that's possible. Duchesne, I think, overachieved last year, and nobody would argue that. I'm not saying that, you know, he can't be more than he has been in his Predators career. I think he certainly can be, but you know, historically he's not that kind of goal scorer, and so I don't think anybody really expected him to replicate that this year. But it's all about consistency. I mean, until last year, his best season as a goal scorer had been, he had 31 as his total with between Ottawa and Columbus. So, you know, look, that's not bad at all. But, you know, 43 is asking a lot every year. So I think if he could be in the 25 range, you would take that. But Forsberg, to me, that's his job. He's a goal scorer. And it's just getting him to do it night in and night out. And I think he's had a nice start to the season, but I agree with a lot of people that, you know, there's another gear. You know, for him, that he's probably going to get to at some point, and then, you know, he could knock on the door of being in the 30s again. I mean, because remember, he gets on streaks, and when he gets on streaks, you never know what's really going to happen. He could knock out, you know, have two or three a game. We've seen it before, but I just think this team has some confidence about him. But I want to see them continue to grow on it. You know, on Duchesne, I'm curious of your thoughts just as a player. When you do you ever, and asking you this question is probably dangerous, because you have the attitude that when you put the helmet on and you went out every game, you were going to be great. That was your attitude every game, that you were going to ball out and catch, you know, 10 passes for 150 yards and three touchdowns. Like, that's your mindset, you know, when you would play. But at the same time, you knew your abilities. You know kind of what you are as a receiver. When you did overachieve, did that sink into your mind that, hey, maybe I had a better game than I, you know, really thought I was going to? Or was it always, nope, this is what I'm going to do every game? Like, I'm asking that from Duchesne's standpoint of being a realist, of knowing that he had a career season. Can he replicate that?
Well, I'm... You always have to know as a player, you know, there's the who you think you are, but then you have to have that realization, well, this is who I am as a player. And when you find that out, I think you become a better player because you know what to work on and how to work on it. My deal was, each and every time I went out, And in my mind and heart, I was the best player on the field, regardless. That's what I would tell, you know, guys coming out of the tunnel, my little group of receivers, said, listen, we are the best group on the field today. Regardless of who's across from us, regardless of who's on our team, We are the best group on the field today. Let's go out and prove it. So my mentality, even if I had a good game, it was, well, this was expected. You need to elevate your game even more, because in that great game, there was something that you didn't do well. There was a pass that you didn't get to. There was a route that you didn't run precisely. There was a series that you may not have given it 100% when it came to not just catching the ball, it was blocking. So, yes, I expected that, but I need to do better. That was my mindset every time I came off the field. I was angry. Like, listen, I need to do better as a player. And because if I get the opportunities, I know I'm going to ball out. That in my mind, if you give me the opportunity, I will ball out. You have nothing to worry about in that regards. And I think that has to be Duchesne's approach. Like, listen, every time I step on that ice, I know we got Johansson. I know we got Yost. I'm the best player on the ice tonight. Every time we step out on the ice, I'm the best player. So if I score a goal or two, or I give an assist, well, I need to do better.
Yeah.
I need to pick my game up even better. Because you're always, like, for me, a coach can never motivate me or challenge me. They can't, because the challenge and the motivation comes from within.
Right.
Because you can only say so much as a coach. Your job as a coach is to put together the game plan, be the CEO. But you can't motivate me. If I'm looking for you to motivate me, I'm in the wrong sport.
Right.
I can't do it. I have to have self-motivation. So every time I stepped out on that field, I am the best player out here. That was my motivation. And most of the time you were. Yeah, and it may not have ended up that way a lot sometimes, but having that mindset, you have better games than not, or better moments than not, when you go out with that mindset. And you're a good player. I think that's what Duchesne had. And not say he's not doing. I'm not saying he's not doing that. But a guy that has the talent that he has and the abilities that he has to go out there thinking, yeah, I know we got Yossi. I get it. I know we got four. I get it. But I'm the best player on the ice.
Right.
And that's how he has to go out each and every night.
Emma Lingen of the Nashville Predators putting out there that Mark Jankowski is available. He'll be back in the lineup tonight against Detroit. Yakov Trenin is still day-to-day with a lower body and still unavailable. And Kevin Lankinen will get the start tonight for the Predators. So I was spot on that.
It's good for Juicy. Get some rest.
Get a rest for sure. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans and what to expect this weekend against Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. But it's all happening in sports right now at Superbook Sports. Football, basketball, hockey, the World Cup, it's all there. There's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager all on the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, you know what? It's time to get busy winning some money with my friends at Superbook. I downloaded the app. I deposited. It's an easy process. I made my bets, and I have been winning on the Superbook Sports app. So download that app, or you can visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Just visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Man, we got a little Careless Whisper going. George Michael, DJ Nick on the ones and twos. Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. The day before Thanksgiving, a little more laid back, you know? Got some slow jams here. That's a great song.
You can never go wrong with this song.
So, the Titans and the Bengals coming up this Sunday. The non-revenge game. It's not a revenge game there. Not a revenge game.
Definitely not.
According to Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill. But I made the comment last night. So, I've started doing a podcast with the homies, with Rick and Jill, the Music City Bets podcast. You can go to thegamenashville.com and get it there. And I made the comment when talking about this game that I think Tannehill is going to have a big game, because I believe for the last, you know, 8 or 9 months, whatever it's been, he's been like Rocky Balboa doing sit-ups, and he's got a picture of the Bengals defense in front of him, just motivated. That's his Ivan Drago.
Mm-hmm.
And he can say it's not a revenge game all he wants, that they pull this, you know, well, it's a they're both teams are different. You know, half the guys weren't here. Well, Tannehill was. He's motivated. There's an extra motivation for Sunday. And I look for him to have a big game.
I tell you, two people that were, well, four people that were there last year that are here this year, both of the quarterbacks and both of the head coaches.
Yep.
That's all that matters right now. Is it a revenge game? Revenge game, no. But you as – because I'm only going by what Ryan Tannehill told us at the beginning of the season, before the season even started. What did he say to everybody? That Cincinnati game put him in a dark place. He had to go talk to someone to, you know, to assess some things, to get some things out, to exercise whatever it was he needed to exercise in regards to that Cincinnati game. And then, you know, coming into the season, he's, you know, for the most part, he's played okay. He hadn't been a reason that they've lost their games. You know, he's been a solid, steady quarterback this season. But you had to have looked at that schedule as a competitor, just purely as a competitor. I don't want to hear the coach talk, the lies, anything else. As a competitor, when you say, like in boxing, when you fight somebody and lose, what happens? You want a rematch, right? You don't just say, that don't mean nothing.
Right.
You know, if you get the rematch, you don't say, that last fight didn't mean anything. You know, I wasn't thinking about that fight. The damn you wasn't. You was thinking about it so much you wanted a rematch, didn't you?
Right.
Or when you playing, you know, say Alabama and Georgia last year. Don't you think Georgia players and Kirby Smart couldn't wait till they got Alabama again? After they had lost to him at the beginning, during the season, don't you think they couldn't wait to have Alabama again in the championship game? That for them, that was their revenge.
Right.
They lost to him in the SEC championship game. They wanted him again. They got him and they beat him. You cannot tell me that this has not been on Ryan Tannehill's radar. Maybe not Vrabel, because Vrabel has to worry about everything. But you got embarrassed. Ryan Tannehill, you were the embarrassment of the team in the playoffs. You are the reason that many say they lost that playoff team. I mean, they lost that playoff game and didn't go to the Super Bowl.
He is the reason they lost.
There's no way in hell you can tell me I don't have that game posted on my wall, mentally posted up. You can't tell me, because if you are a competitor, you have to, because you want to redeem yourself. Is it a revenge game? No, it's a redeeming game. I want to redeem myself. I played horrible in the playoffs versus the Cincinnati Bengals, and I was the reason my team didn't advance. Why in the hell wouldn't you want to play him again? If you could have played him at the beginning of the season the first game of the season, you would have loved it. Why? Because you would have been able to possibly redeem yourself from a horrible outing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I get the sport. I get the coach talk, but to say this game from a personal standpoint doesn't mean anything. You had to talk to somebody about what happened at the end of the season, which was the best thing for you. It was great.
Right.
But now you're telling me, it's just another game. It's just another game. No, it's not.
Because here's the other thing, Derek, and I mean, I'm sure you've lived this.
Mm-hmm.
If he has that extra motivation and he knows that I like the redeem game, you know, like the redeem team.
Exactly.
The basketball team. Well, the guys around him are going to feel that too, because I think there's a sense of, hey, we know Ryan needs it. We need this as a team.
We want to win this for Ryan.
We need this as a team, but our guy needs this. This is something that stuck with him, and he needs us to do our best too. Derek's thinking that. The receivers are thinking that. The defense is thinking that. And, you know, I understand the mind games that coaches play and you don't want to admit that something's bothering you, but he hasn't forgotten about this. And quite frankly, Derek, I don't want him to.
Yes, you don't.
He should hurt. It's just like Heupel saying to his team that, hey, this needs to hurt for a while. Well, it needed to. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in life, whenever we go through something or make mistakes, like, it needs to hurt. Mm-hmm. You need to feel that pain for a little bit because that's how you learn from it. That's how you grow from it. That's how you get stronger, whether it's you making a mistake or you go through heartbreak or what have mm-hmm. you. Sometimes pain is a good thing.
Exactly.
It sucks, but sometimes it is a good thing. And I think you have seen a more solid and consistent Tannehill this year because of some of that pain and things that he learned from that playoff game.
Well, I can't guarantee it, but I would say there's a high probability that if the Titans win this game versus the Cincinnati Bengals and Ryan Tannehill plays like he played last game, you know who the game ball is going to and in front of everybody?
Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely. You know what that tells me? That tells me everybody's been thinking about
this. Of course.
And you redeemed yourself. You know, Ryan Tannehill, here's the game ball. This is an acknowledgement of you redeeming yourself. Is it a revenge game? No, it's not a revenge game. It's a redeeming game. I got to redeem myself. You know, that loss put me in a bad place professionally. I need to redeem myself. You get an opportunity to do it Sunday. So when you say it doesn't, it, you know, it's just, no, it's not just another game. Anytime I walk on a football field, it's not just a damn another game. It's not. People understand that. Each game is different. It's not just, oh, it's just another NFL. No, it's not. How the hell can you even let that come out of your mouth? It's not just another game. It's the game. It's the game of the week for us. You know how coaches preach? Oh, we just got to go 1-0 every week, or it starts over. That means it's a different mind. It's a different game. And it means just as much as it did last week. So when you walk into Nissan Stadium this weekend to play the Cincinnati Bengals, there's that extra motivation from the quarterback. There is. There has to be. If there's not, why are you my quarterback? You know? If there's not an extra motivation right. to walk into this stadium and beat that team because they beat us and they closed the door on any hopes we had of winning the Super Bowl that year, why wouldn't this be sort of that game that I got to redeem myself? That game that I'm going to make sure that I do everything humanly possible to win this game as a quarterback. And my teammates are thinking the same thing. This one we got to get for Ryan.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What are your thoughts on this matchup and specifically Ryan Tannehill's mindset going into Sunday? We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
I know this game isn't a revenge game, but for you, just from a mental recovery standpoint, how has the year gone? Like, do you notice anything different? Did you learn anything new about yourself, you know, going from that point to where you are now?
I don't know exactly what you're looking for there, but yeah, I mean, every year is a learning experience. You're learning the guys around you. You're learning the nuances of how things are going throughout the year. And so, you know, each and every year is a little bit different. There's a little bit different mental side to it. And yeah, I think, you know, myself and everyone included has grown mentally, you know, throughout the challenges of this year.
Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That's Ryan Tannehill talking about the matchup this weekend. Revenge game, redeemed game, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. Interesting stat that Nick has put up here, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Titans-Bengals is the only game on Sunday with teams with winning records playing each other.
Whoa.
Shows you where the NFL's at right now. That's pretty interesting.
It's not a good place.
615-737-1025. John in Nashville says, 3 picks, a missed field goal, a returning King Henry. That was the playoff game. Things will be different Sunday. Plus, we have the 2-time coach of the year.
Well, we hope things are different. I mean, y'all forget Cincinnati's still a damn good football team.
Yeah, Cincinnati's got a lot to play for. They're playing for a
playoff quarterback, and they got their elite receiver back. It seems like so.
Yeah, it looks that way.
I mean, are y'all watching what Cincinnati, what they're putting together? No, their record. I think their record is the same this year as it was last year at this time, wasn't it? Well, it's close to it.
Maybe, yeah.
So, you know, yes, the Titans are a really good team and they're a resilient team. But they're going against a high-powered offense, offense that I don't think they've seen an offense like this since they played Buffalo. Yeah, Kansas City's offense, because of Patrick Mahomes, is going to be a good offense. But as far as playmakers across the board, they haven't seen an offense like this.
Yeah.
So their defense will be tested, and I expect their defense to stand up and play strong. It's their offense, to me, that is going to have to have a big game. And that big game means Ryan Tannehill needs to redeem himself. He does. Because what is Cincinnati going to do? We know what Cincinnati's going to do, just like every other team has done and will do as long as Derrick Henry is in the backfield. They're going to stack the box. That's what they're going to do. So this is another opportunity. It was an opportunity for Ryan Tannehill to do it last week on Thursday Night Football, where everybody in the country was watching, versus the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And what did he do? Outplayed Aaron Rodgers by a mile. He needs to do it again this week versus Joe Burrow. He needs to outplay Joe Burrow by a mile in order for them to win this game.
Mike Garafolo of the NFL Network is saying it'll be Kyle Allen for the Texans at quarterback Sunday. Lovie Smith declined to make a starter in his press conference today, but sources are telling him they will make a change. So that little nugget there for Houston. I think I saw that Sam Darnold's going to start for the Panthers. So their quarterback carousel continues. But going back to your text line on Ryan Tannehill, 615-737-1025, unnamed Hexer, how about the motivation being the playoffs, win this and nothing happens? I disagree. You're fighting for seeding here. Mm-hmm. I think the first or second seed is probably not out of the equation, but lofty at this point. But with the way things are shaking out, if you're the third seed, I would much rather play the Patriots in the first round than the Bills or the Dolphins, because if you drop to the fourth seed, you're probably playing the Bills or the Dolphins in the first round, whoever wins that division, because they would get the first wild card, the fifth seed, and the four plays the five. So I think having the third seed, even though you'd host a game no matter what, is definitely to your advantage. So I think this does mean something. This, win this and nothing happens, I disagree with
that. No, that's, it doesn't work that way, especially when you're trying to jockey for position in the playoffs. As we sit right now, Kansas City's one, Miami's two, the Titans are three, Ravens are four, Buffalo's five, then New England and Cincinnati. This game is important to both teams because it means, you know, where are you seated? The AFC South, we know, is only getting one team out of the, you know, into the playoffs, unless Indianapolis just goes on a run and don't lose a game from here on out, there will only be one team coming out the AFC South as far as playoff. Now that it's the North, it's important to Cincinnati because they got to try to stay ahead. They got to try to stay on pace with the Baltimore Ravens, who are now sitting at 7-3. Cincinnati has one game up on them as far as how many games they played. They both played the same amount of games. I'm sorry about that. But they're still one game behind. So this game this weekend means a lot for the Cincinnati Bengals, as it does for the Tennessee Titans. But for different reasons, but they still mean a lot. Titans want to continue to have their stranglehold on the division, and the Cincinnati Bengals want to itch closer to the Baltimore Ravens and try to overtake them in their division.
Yeah, and look, you can't take your foot off the gas and let – Indianapolis stick around. Not that I really am that worried about it, but you still have to take care of your own business. TD from Nashville says, come on, guys, you cannot give the opponent any bulletin board material. So I agree with Tannehill and Coach for their non-revenge co-comment. Now, post-game, when you hand out that L to Cincinnati, then by all means you comment on how you had this game circled for almost a year. Do you agree with that? Does bulletin board material really exist in the NFL? Or do we make too much of that?
It all depends on what you say. It all depends on what you say.
You would chirp. I mean, you would say some
things. If you just say, hey, listen, Yeah, I mean, we are. I mean, that last time we played the Cincinnati Bengals, I didn't have my best game. I want to have a better game. I want to have a game that puts us in a position to win. That's what you want to do. You want to play better than what you played the last time against the Cincinnati Bengals. That's not bulletin board material, but you're saying we need to play better. We need to win this game. This is the game we must have. Now, if you go and start saying all these crazy things, then, yeah, there may be a sense of bulletin board material. But here is what happens, people. Once you step out on the field, you get to playing. You're not thinking about what was put on the bulletin board. You're thinking about the task at hand. You're thinking about beating the team. You're not thinking about, you're not in a huddle. Yeah, they said this about us. No, eventually that stuff wears off. You know, then you get into the meat of the game. You ain't thinking about that crap, you know. So it's good for the week, and it's good for us to talk about, and it's good for, you know, the people to put it in print. But on Sunday, once they get in between those lines, after the first couple of minutes, that stuff don't mean a damn thing. We wasn't thinking about it, you know. Now, yeah, you may say something after the game, but during the game, you're not saying anything. You're not even thinking about it. You're thinking about the task at hand, and that's each play that's in front of you, not what, you know, Vrabel said or their head coach said or their player said and bulletin board material. No.
But you – I feel like you knew your opponent enough, and you knew guys on the opposing team that you could say something, get in their head, and you knew it would, whether it's on the field or before the game.
It was usually during
– You chirped during the game.
That stuff affects you. Like, you could possibly get into somebody's head during the game.
Yeah.
Prior to the game, no. I mean, it's – at least for me, no, it wasn't. At least for me and the people that I play with, no. Now, you get into the game, that might be a different story. You can say some things that rattle a person.
Who do you think you got to the most?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I have one in mind.
Shoot. I mean, I didn't really have any battles. I mean, you know.
I think you got in Finnegan's head.
Yeah, that was probably one.
I think you could get it. Well, and I'm talking about during the game. Like,
oh, during the game, yeah, not before, because I wouldn't say anything.
No. I'm asking, like, during a game of your career, who do you – a DB that you think you got in their head a little bit and rattled?
Oh, of course. I've gotten into a few guys' head by either what I've said or, you know, just me being relentless. And when I mean by me being relentless, not just in the passing game, it's in the run game, too, when the ball was on the other side of the field, and I'm still blocking you.
Yeah.
And I'm just messing with you. Now I'm getting to you mentally because you thought this was going to be a playoff for you. But it's not a playoff for you. I'm going to make you play each and every play.
Would you be mad at me if I went through, like, you know, history and I found a corner or somebody that, like, I know you had a run-in with and we got him on the show because that would be fun.
I mean, if you can find one other than Cortland, and listen, I enjoyed when I'm between the lines, because to me, none of this stuff got, you know, personal. I mean, yeah. If you made it personal, and that's your business, and if it's something with you off the field, that's your business, not mine. But in between the lines, you know, there are things that I did and I said because there was an advantage to it. And I knew who I can get to and who would just dismiss it, you know.
Right.
But the way I would get to them is I'd just catch passes on them over and over again. And then just get up, say a little something to them, and walk back. That'd get on their nerves after a while.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, get his thoughts on this Titans-Bengals matchup. That's all coming up. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.